You are listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we're talking to Dave Gardner about three major efforts he has developed, all designed to bring change from the present. Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
And greetings to you, Jerry, from San Diego and Jubilee One Earth Economics.
I thank you, Lee, for coming from San Diego to the Central Coast.
Well, the trip was really my pleasure, Jerry. You did all the work, so to speak. You set it all up, and I was able to speak to these two very engaged groups after I took a most pleasant train trip to up the West Coast, and then got to stay with you and Rita in your home. First, I spoke after the worship service at Bethel Lutheran Church in Templeton, just on the edge of Paso Robles, and then a really sizable gathering at St. James Episcopal Church in Paso Robles, and that was sponsored by the Paso Peace Community. The two groups, you know, asked such pertinent questions. They were just very engaged, some of them leaning forward in their chairs or seats. And then it was an indication to me that my message was resonating, and the message was on reversing the climate crisis. Anyway, they bought a good number of my books, and they also gave generously to the cause, so it was really good all around. And turning to the conversation of this episode, I love the conversation you had with our guest, Jerry. I also want to acknowledge to our listeners that we're in a particular spot as you and I make this recording today. I don't know where we'll be when listeners hear it, but today we're in the spot of our nation just really getting shut down because of the coronavirus. And it has us all in a lot of spinning of mind and hearts to souls to figure out just what this all means for all of us and how do we now live as Earth seems to be using one of its smallest kinds of life to disrupt all what we would call the biggest kinds of life. Here we have a microbe upsetting all kinds of things globally. And there's just lots to ponder, as well as trying to maintain health as much as we can. Well, that said, as part of the context in which we make this conversation, and also the one you had, Jerry, with Dave, you know, both of us, you in Simple Living Works and I through One Earth Jubilee, work on the crises caused by the explosion of human beings on the planet in the past century, and also on the economics of endless growth on our wonderful planet's limited resources. And those are the topics you explore with the very articulate Dave Gardner. I write about the population part of it in my book, Blinded by Progress. I have a chapter on species imbalance. I found that approaching the topic in terms of Earth's correction of imbalance seems to lead to more fruitful conversation than speaking about human population control. Because then right away it's, well, who does the controlling? And whereas to speak of Earth bringing balance, it frames it in a whole different way. And we can speak about the things that have created the imbalance and corrective steps to take to partner with Earth as she brings about greater balance between the species on the planet to which she seeks to preserve life. Well, in 1920, just to show us the dimension of this issue, in 1920, 100 years ago, the world had 1.8 billion people. Today, 7.8 billion. The exponential growth is just an explosion, and all the species of the Earth, including the human species, are suffering because of it. So there's lots that needs to happen to correct this imbalance. And it's indeed a deeply soul-searching issue. And then regarding growth economics, I've come to understand that there are two major stories we can live by. One is multi-Earth living, and the other is one-Earth living, and we have to choose. Multi-Earth living requires more than our planet for everyone to live at the standard of living that those of us in the U.S. or even in the Western Hemisphere, want to live by. One Earth Living lives by within the abundant resources of our one planet. Well, growth economics, which is a part of one of the two topics today, one of the three topics, is the economics of the multi-earth way of living. As long as we stick with the multi-earth story, we are going to be caught in growth economics, and everyone's going to be scrambling to get their share. And, of course, it always works out that the most powerful get grotesquely too much, and a whole lot of people get sorrowfully too little. Well, steady creation-based economics, which is inherent in One Earth Living, is the very different kind of economics that we want to espouse, and so does our guest. So, Jerry, how did you get connected with today's guest?
I'm a regular listener, Lee, to the Growth Busters podcast, as well as the Overpopulation podcast, both of which Dave Gardner produces. And we've been promoting Growth Busters in our blogs for quite some time. Now, in this interview, we talk about some colleague organizations, such as CASI and Population Connection. And so I'll be putting some links in the show notes about those as well. So, Dave, tell us how you got involved with your earlier project, growthbusters.org.
Yeah, Growthbusters came about when I first became concerned about just my hometown, the policies and goals of the town of Colorado Springs, where I was born and raised. I was watching this town pursue population growth and measure its success based on how fast it was growing. And I was a little bit kind of bummed about it because I really kind of liked it at a smaller size. In fact, I had moved back from Dallas, Texas. I temporarily went to Dallas, Texas for a crazy 20-year stint. I don't know why it took me so long to wise up and come back to the mountains. But I came back to the mountains, to Colorado Springs, and I did that because it was a rat race in Dallas. Dallas is a huge metropolitan area. I've lost track of how many millions of people are in that Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex now. I think it may be up 6-7 million maybe even. But Colorado Springs was a nice little mid-sized town, and I liked that personally. And I also was aware that in the American West and in the state of Colorado, water supply was a significant issue. Everyone in the West knows that we don't have an unlimited supply of water. So I thought it was kind of crazy for a city to base its prosperity strategy on something that was unsustainable. You know, there was just no way it could grow its population forever. So I started kind of paying attention and investigating that, and I eventually decided, you know what, I need to make a documentary film about that. I was a lifelong documentary filmmaker, and I was ready to make a film about an important subject instead of make a film for a Fortune 500 company, which is mostly what I did to make a good living for many years. And it was only then, Jerry, that once I started researching that subject, I discovered, wow, this is so much bigger than just what one city in the American West is doing. This is a global issue. And then soon after that, while I was still researching and making the film, I discovered it's not even limited to population, but we've got a significant problem with economic growth and our obsession with robust economic growth. So the Growthbusters film that I made ended up really devoting kind of equal time to both of those obsessions, which are really pretty suicidal. And that film was released in early November of 2011, right about the time that world population passed the 7 billion milestone.
Growth Busters is available on DVD, and then on Black Friday, one day a year, it's available for free on YouTube, I understand.
Yeah, we decided that was kind of a neat event. I'd love to make the film available for free because it's really important for everyone to see. But I started this small, scrappy nonprofit to make the film, and we, you know, I'm kind of upside down in that nonprofit even to this day. So we still try to make that generate a revenue stream. And you're not just limited to DVD. You can buy or rent a digital download at growthbustersmovie.org or at Amazon.
It's just an eye-opening film. It is just really touching the way you've combined both overconsumption and overpopulation. So I thank you personally for that. Now, let's move on to the next step where you got involved with the world population balance.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting story too. I actually discovered that organization when I was producing the Growth Busters documentary. I ran into the gentleman that founded it, Dave Paxson, at a conference in Washington, D.C., and he was just very articulate and had really solid messaging around world human overpopulation. So I interviewed him for the film. So he has a minute, you know, not even a minute probably in the film, because I interviewed way too many people. So they're all seen pretty darn briefly. And that began kind of a beautiful relationship. And World Population Balance was founded actually back in 1992. So it's been around a long time. And Dave Paxson eventually, just about 4 or 5 years ago, decided it was time to step back and start pretending like he was retired and step away from the organization. And he and I were chatting about who he might be able to find as a replacement. And, it's such a strange subject. You know, it's got so much baggage attached to it, and there's just a lot to learn about it, and there aren't that many people who are really passionate about the subject either. And we felt like it was important to find someone to lead that organization who really had a passion about the subject and had a good understanding of it too. And you know, finally kind of hit me on the forehead. Wow, that's me. I'm the guy. I may be the only good candidate we know. And I certainly wasn't making a living running the Growth Busters project. I'd finished the film, but I was keeping that organization going and doing public speaking and media interviews and experimenting with webinars. I just wanted to keep educating and inspiring the public to live more sustainably. So I accepted. I said, I can't do it full time because I'm not ready to close down Growth Busters. So I took a part-time hourly job as executive director of World Population Balance and continue to occupy that position to this day. And the reason, Jerry, that I wanted to say yes to that job was because World Population Balance has, you know, it's spent now 25 years plus really figuring out what the world needs to know about human overpopulation. And that is that that we don't need to just stop growing the population. Because if we just stabilized world population at today's level, we would, you know, be in a perpetual state of overpopulation. We really need to let human population coast back down to a sustainable level, because otherwise we're just going to keep chipping away at the world's life-supporting ecosystem's ability to meet our needs. So that was one thing, is World Population Balance uses the word overpopulation. They want people to know that our certainly population growth is an issue, but stopping population growth isn't enough. And then the other thing is that that it's pretty easy to solve. All we really need to do, we don't need any draconian laws, we don't need to dictate anyone's family size, we just need to make sure that everyone around the world understands that we're in overshoot, and a big part of overshoot, half of it is overpopulation and half of it is overconsumption, and that just the choice to have a small family is a really great choice. It's better for the quality of life of your children, and it's definitely better to have a healthy planet. So it doesn't require us to dictate anybody's family size. We just need to make sure everybody's making informed and well-considered family size decisions.
Indeed. Well, I understand that you have two podcasts, one for Growth Busters and one for World Population Balance. I assume that both of those are free and they're available on the internet.
Yep, they're very easy to find. You can find the Growth Busters podcast. You can find at growthbusters.org if you're on the web. The Overpopulation podcast you can find at worldpopulationbalance.org. But if you're a podcast listener, a regular listener, then you probably use a podcast app and listen on your smartphone or some kind of a small device. And both of those podcasts can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the usual podcast apps. And you can subscribe so you never miss an episode, and it costs you nothing.
Well, as a regular listener to both, I recommend them both very highly. Now, let's make some comparisons, because we have a number of colleague organizations that are dealing with one issue or the other. For example, we have, in terms of Growth Busters, we have CASI, which is working toward sustainable growth. Sustainable, and I support CASI, and I've interviewed Mark Check, you know, on my podcast.
But That's Brian Check.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and I would argue with you that I don't think they're arguing for sustainable growth. I think they're arguing for a steady state economy, which isn't really growing, don't you think?
Yes, and I made that mistake on purpose, because there are lots of people who talk about sustainability, and they talk about green economy and things like that. And I'm not talking about any political talk at this point. I'm just saying that many times sustainable growth means sustaining the growth, keeping the growth going. Instead, Mark Check is in for a steady state economy. So can you give us your distinction between, if there is one, between steady state economy and Growth Busters?
Well, bless you for bringing that up, because I think that's just so important. And isn't it interesting, Jerry, that, you know, both of the topic areas, both of the issues that I've chosen to work on are I think they're the most universally misunderstood concepts going, and they also happen to be the most critical to the long-term prospects of human civilization. So it's just mind-boggling. If I was trying to find a way to live the last third of my life in the easy chair, I certainly made the wrong choice. But back to your question. Economic growth, very much misunderstood. You know that almost every country in the world, almost every state, almost every city, every territory, they all share this goal of robust economic growth. There are very few exceptions to that. Fortunately, there are a few, and that number are growing. But robust economic growth is just considered to be this universal, unalloyed good. And certainly, it is sort of a sign. Economic growth is kind of a sign that that there are more jobs this year than there were last year, and there may be more wealth, and some people may be materially better off when you're experiencing economic growth. But when you stop and think about it, if you have 3% economic growth per year, then you would, let's say on a global scale around the world, if we were averaging 3%, that means that we would double the size of the world's economy, about every 24 years, I think. You would double it. And 24 years after that, you would double the size of the economy again. And though neither of us are going to be around in 720 years, how big do you think the world economy would be in 720 years? It would be a billion times the size of today's economy. Now, on one planet, planet Earth, everybody knows that's impossible. And yet, they know we can't do it forever, and yet today it is the most common, popular goal and metric for prosperity and success. So Brian Check founded the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy. He's the guy who educated me about the role of our overconsumption and our obsession with economic growth, and how that is, you know, really a suicide mission. And so he formed that organization, and I'm a big fan of it. And their whole idea is that if we want human civilization to be sustainable, if we want to have a healthy, sustainable economy, it's got to be not growing. You know, it doesn't necessarily It might need to shrink for a while, and we have a movement out there called the degrowth movement that are really honestly telling us that we kind of overdid it and need to, just like we need to shrink the human population, we probably need to shrink the global economy until they're both back at in sustainable balance with Mother Nature. Then they can be steady.
Let's take another colleague organization, the Post-Carbon Institute. They produce a podcast called Crazy Town, and they also are working toward, if I understand it correctly, a steady state economy or a no growth economy. Can you draw any comparisons between Growth Busters and the Post-Carbon Institute?
Well, you're picking all my favorites, Jerry. I really have a lot of respect for Post-Carbon Institute. Richard Heinberg is a fellow at the Post-Carbon Institute who's just one of the smartest people on the planet on these subject areas. And I'm a big fan of Crazy Town. I'm so glad that they decided to do another season. So I know they just released, I don't know if they just released the whole second season or just the first episode of season two. But I recommend that highly. They run a website called resilience.org, which is a real good place normally to get good information and to really educate yourself on these subjects. I'll tell you though, Jerry, there was an essay posted at resilience.org just in late February that actually was a second in a series. The first one was published like a year and a half earlier by a gentleman named Chris Smage, and I would kind of recommend everybody give his essays a pass, unfortunately, and I'm disappointed that Resilience has chosen to publish his essays because they have both are designed to convince people that overpopulation should be ignored. That's not a big deal. It's not a problem. He thinks that we have competing issues, and if we are working on solving human overpopulation, then we somehow are shortchanging working on getting to a steady state economy and solving the big systemic problems that that capitalism brings about. And personally, I don't know how you feel about it, Jerry, but I just don't think we're running a race. I don't think that they have to compete. I think we're so deep into overshoot that we need to be working hard on all those issues and helping each other. So it was a big disappointment to see that essay.
Well, thanks for your comments on that. Yes, you and I agree profoundly that we need to be working on overconsumption or eternal growth, as well as overpopulation.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation. In the last several episodes, in our breaks, we've been talking about planting trees. This isn't just sticking a tree in the ground, but this is about working with people who understand how to carefully select the right species, the right site, the right type of planting, and then how to maintain that tree so it doesn't just sputter and die within months or a couple years. First of all, we need to calculate our carbon, and for that, we recommend using the calculator online. That's www.terrapass.com/carbon-footprint-calculator. We'll give you that address in the show notes. There's lots of information on how trees really cooperate with Earth in her immune system to having too many contaminants to deal with for optimum growth. So trees are one of the main ways to sequester carbon, to take it out of the atmosphere. Here our lifestyles are all the time putting it into the atmosphere. This is a way we can help Earth by taking our carbon out of the atmosphere. We can clean up after ourselves. Well, after we calculate it on the calculator, we can donate that money to Jubilee Economics Ministries Tree Fund. And then the circles in Mexico and in San Diego will all work with trusted people that know how to care for trees, and we'll plant them, and we'll be working together as a team to sequester carbon from the atmosphere, cleaning up after ourselves as we live on this one beautiful blue planet. Well, now let's return to the conversation, Jerry, that you and Dave had.
There are a number of organizations that work on overpopulation. They focus on those. And as you have said in a recent episode, actually solving the overpopulation problem is probably going to be easier than dealing with overconsumption, because overpopulation can be a factor of education. And so if women are educated and empowered, they will indeed make decisions to have smaller families and not fall subject to men who want to prove their virility by siring lots of children, or by grandparents or communities that demand on having large families.
Yeah, not to mention economists who insist that women get busy incubating more workers and consumers.
Indeed. Some of the organizations, for example, there's the Population Connection, which is formerly known as Zero Population Growth. Do you associate with them?
Yes, I know them well, and I have a lot of respect for Population Connection because they are, while they are, I think I would characterize their messaging as a little more moderate than World Population Balance's, they are also managing to get their educational programs into classrooms across the United States. And so I recognize that you have to sometimes moderate your messaging a little bit in order to have a wide funnel and get the message in front of enough people. So I get what they're doing, and I think it's really important that our children somewhere along the line in school grow to have some kind of a conception, some kind of a concept about human numbers. And so I admire the work Population Connection does.
Good point. Now, there is one organization that I'm suspect of, and I want to get your opinion about.
Sure.
And that's negative population growth. Negative population growth strikes me more as a conservative anti-immigrant organization than actually one that's dealing with population.
Yeah, my impression of negative population growth is that they kind of bounce around a little bit. They have definitely generated some intelligent essays about human population, but they definitely have a big focus on reducing the level of immigration into the United States. So if somebody is offended by that or thinks that's crazy, then they may be unimpressed with NPG.
Besides your documentary and your podcast, tell us something about your newest campaign.
Oh, thanks. I'm really excited about that because I think this is really the boldest initiative I've been involved in. At World Population Balance, we have just launched a billboard campaign. It's called the One Planet, One Child billboard campaign. And we spent about a month crowdfunding for it so that we could afford to put up very high-profile billboards in really high-traffic areas in the middle of one in the middle of Minneapolis and one in between Colorado Springs and Denver, where all the commuters drive by. I don't have a crystal ball, so I'm not sure what the future is, but our hope is that we will get some attention because, you know what, talking about human population and solving that issue is kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people. It just doesn't happen very much. It gets brushed under the rug. And we believe that if we really want couples around the world to be making informed decisions about family size, you know, we need to shine a little light on that subject. We really need to bring it out from under the rug and have really good, informed public conversations about it. So we're doing this model of putting up a couple billboards in a couple of communities with the hope that somebody's going to notice because it just isn't done. That's just not a subject that you see billboards about, and we'll get some attention, and we'll, you know, kind of get a snowball rolling, and we'll attract more and more support because we have an ongoing crowdfunding campaign now that we hope to run in perpetuity, where people can contribute so that we can add billboards in other communities. In fact, people can even adopt a billboard. If they can, they can say, I want to have a billboard in my town. How do I do it? And we make that possible and help them do that as long as they can help us raise the money to pay for the billboards. And the neat thing about it is I think the messaging is just, it's just so important because people are so nervous about talking about the subject. So what we've chosen to do is celebrate small families. We're celebrating small family choice, and we've got a brand new website called oneplanetonechild.org that has really good, simple, clear information for anyone who sees one of those billboards and wants to learn more about the subject.
Yes, I've seen the design. It's very friendly. It's not pejorative at all. I have to tell you a little joke. Sometimes driving by our local Catholic church, I see the sign that says, "Pray to End Abortion." And I'm tempted to put up a sign across the street in an open field that says, "Pray to End Overpopulation." So, can you look in your crystal ball and tell us what's on your plate, either for Growth Busters or World Population Balance, for the next 5 years, besides what we've already talked about?
Sure, sure. Well, my hope is that the billboard campaign continues and it expands. And you know, part of the campaign, we created some perks, some coffee mugs and T-shirts and stickers you can put on your water bottle. And so, you know, by the time you're listening to this episode, you may even be running into somebody at the office who has a One Planet, One Child coffee mug that's starting conversations. So for the next 5 years, I'm hoping we have more and more walking human, well, let's see, not more human beings, but more human of the human beings that are on the planet turning themselves into walking billboards, wearing the T-shirts and starting conversations so that we can have people who just understand the situation that we're in Overshoot and we need to, but we both really need to be addressing both the overconsumption side of the sustainability equation and the overpopulation side of the sustainability equation. And so that's going to be continuing, I hope. The Overpopulation podcast will definitely go on into the future. I think we have really rock solid content and great guests and insightful commentary. So I think that's a really great place for people to not only just improve their own knowledge, level of knowledge, but to get better at communicating about it and to share with people that they think need to learn more about it. And then on the Growth Busters side, I'm going to continue the Growth Busters podcast. And the important thing about the Growth Busters podcast is it brings some balance to the affair. World Population Balance focuses on overpopulation because there just aren't enough champions working on that messaging. So that's their focus. Growth Busters focuses on both the overpopulation side of the sustainability equation and the human and the overconsumption side of the sustainability equation. And you know, you mentioned, and I don't think I gave you a good answer about it, you mentioned that solving overpopulation may be easier than solving overconsumption. And that's really true because in 1960, the average family had 5 kids. And without any, you know, draconian laws around the world, women have just been for the last 50 or 60 years have been choosing to have fewer and fewer children. And so now the global average fertility rate is now down under 2.5. So we have demonstrated that we're willing to do what we need to do to solve overpopulation. So the work at World Population Balance and the billboard campaign is just to encourage faster progress in that department. On the other side, though, we've got this huge economy. We've got overconsumption. We know that there are more than 1 billion people on the planet who are living higher on the hog than the planet can really support with the almost 7.8 billion people that we have on the planet today. So we need to, and we're doing this with the Growth Busters podcast, try to illuminate that and educate people about what they can be doing to shrink their footprint. We haven't, so far, human civilization hasn't really demonstrated that we're willing to do that, that we're willing to voluntarily live more simply. There are pockets of people who are doing that, but most people seem to be really determined to have be making more money next year than they did this year, to have kids that make more money than they did, to have more flights, to have bigger houses, to have more houses, and all those things. You know, we could have been doing that back when the world population was a billion, but at over 7.7 billion, the planet just can't support that kind of behaviors. So the Growth Busters podcast, we're trying to educate people about that and see if we can find some ways to inspire people to experience the joy of shrinking your footprint. Because it turns out most of the things that you do to simplify your life, they free you. They get you off the treadmill that you might be on today in service to this growth-obsessed economy.
Well, I just want to make sure, Dave, that everybody understands that both Growth Busters and World Population Balance are 501c3 nonprofit organizations, so people can donate to them and get a tax deduction.
Absolutely, and that's their lifeblood. We really depend on good people recognizing just how critical these causes are and supporting us with their contributions.
You've been listening to The Conversation with Dave Gardner of Growth Busters and World Population Balance. In a future episodes, we'll talk with Ken Parrish of the NAACP, also Brian Beavers on the importance of local economies and how local food supply of farmers markets is key to local economies. Have you listened to our recent episodes? In January, David Hoferer talked about birds, insects, big ag, and spirituality. In February, we talked with our new leader in Jubilee One Earth Economics, John Mishno. Do listen. You're sure to pick up thoughts you'll value. We certainly did as we created those episodes. Please let us know your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Time to wrap up with this episode. You can subscribe to this podcast under the name Simple Living Works at your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.
Simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.